Here's a question for you. How often do you find yourself laughing these days? And I don't mean, you know, someone sends you a funny meme on your phone and you do the little huff out your nose or you crack barely a little bit of a smile, but an actual serious belly laugh. What is making you laugh? 514-566-9066. With the year that many of us have had, it can be hard to find the bright side of things. And Daybreak's Jennifer Yoon was curious about this. So she went out to meet people who are looking to experience the giggles themselves or to get you laughing. She joins me now. Jen, good morning.
Good morning, Rebecca.
You know what? When you brought this up, it made me curious. So I started looking into it and I saw that Canada had actually dropped in the world happiness rankings recently.
Yeah, that's right. We went from being the 10th happiest country in the world to being the 15th happiest country in the world.
So 10 to 15, I guess it's a drop, but happiness is so hard to measure. What exactly does that mean?
Well, they measure several different factors to determine how people evaluate their lives as a whole, how satisfied they feel and how fulfilled they feel with their lives.
And I guess a big part of that is also your, not just the things that are going on in your life, maybe your family, your job, but also just your mood, which it has been a pretty up and down year.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, hard emotionally for a lot of folks. And there's now data that backs this up. I spoke with Chris Barrington Lee, a happiness economist at McGill's Institute for Health and Social Policy and the Beeler School of Environment.
It's probably the first time we have had someone who calls themselves a happiness economist on the show. I imagine it's an interesting line of work.
Yeah, well, he looked at data from different places in the world, and he said when people are asked questions like, how happy did you feel yesterday, or did you feel anger or anxiety on a weekly basis, you could see how people have been experiencing a lot of really difficult short-term emotions in the past year.
And with how much the situation is evolving, you know, you could get good news one day, you could get not so much the next. Sometimes it feels hard to predict what the next couple of months will look like. Maybe that is to be expected. But being a happiness expert himself, has Chris figured out anything to help him through this difficult year?
Well, being an economist, he focuses a lot on the policy and data sets about happiness. But he says it's impossible to work in the field without internalizing some of these findings on what makes for happier people and happier societies.
You know, the research that I've done has made some changes in my insights about how to live my own life and practices that can, in fact, help mood even, right? And so, in fact, I've even in a course stood up in front of 200 people and led a laughing session like people do in laughing yoga or laughing therapy. That was me getting out of my comfort zone for sure. But the point was, we can do things that change our, you know, in the space of 60 seconds, you can really change your mood, and there are things that you wouldn't necessarily do naturally. You have to force yourself to do so. If you stand in front of a mirror and laugh like a crazy person after half a minute or a minute, it becomes real laughter, and I guarantee that you'll feel better if you do that. Now, to supercharge it, do it with somebody else or in a group, and you know the effect is even stronger. That doesn't mean that that's the solution to the world's problems. We have to deal with real material issues that that affect the circumstances of our lives. But actually, having tools of resilience and focusing on and having skills to improve our lives day to day, actually not only is good unto itself, but it helps us to improve our lives in the longer lasting ways.
I mean, I can definitely see how resilience can help you maybe keep your mood up, you know, stay even headed. But he was mentioning standing in front of a mirror and trying to make yourself laugh. I feel like maybe I would laugh out of the awkwardness, but I don't know. It sounds like,
I actually tried it out, and you're right, not alone. I went to a free laughter yoga class held by a South Shore woman named Mira Turedi.
I've laughed by mistake in a yoga class, so it was not a laughter yoga. But what exactly is laughter yoga, Jen?
So laughter yoga is a type of exercise where you force yourself to laugh, make yourself laugh. And you sometimes pair it with movement. Sometimes you put your thumb up or you point at someone else in the class and you just kind of go, ha, 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 ha. And I'll be honest, it seemed really strange at first. But then the more I did it, the giggles actually started coming on.
Now we will do laughter yoga. We are deprived of that since long. So let us laugh. ho, 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 ho. Everybody to Mary. Everybody to Lucy. Everybody to Pauline. Everybody to the mirror.
My name is Meera Trivedi. I do community service and I teach yoga in my community service. I teach all kinds of yoga. Laughter yoga is a part of that. And actually, in maybe 2005, 2006, when there used to be Oprah Winfrey show, in that I heard about laughter yoga, that one of the guy of Oprah's team, he was very much negative. So she heard and she sent him to the laughter yoga session for 6 months. And when he came back, he was totally a changed person. So that was my first introduction. And then in 2009, I did my yoga course and laughter yoga was part of that. I felt that, yeah, it's good. It makes me happy. It makes people happy. So I started doing.
Well, she definitely sounds like she has a great attitude. And even in just that snippet from the class, it sounds a little maybe awkward at first, but it did sound like the giggles were catching on, Jen. Is this something that Meera has started doing during the pandemic, the laughter yoga? Oh,
she was doing them before as well at a local school gym. CLSCs and community groups would refer people to her yoga classes, but when the pandemic hit, obviously she couldn't hold those classes in person anymore. But as the months dragged on, she felt like something was really missing and really something had to give, something had to change.
It was very serious, like no interaction, no laughter, no happiness. Listening the news too even was scary that, yeah, so many people dying here, so many people dying there. It is very infectious, very contagious. So it was totally a different kind of mental condition. All worried, what will happen? Things were not certain. What may happen? How far will it go? How long will it go? All those things. So that's why I thought, no, I have to do something. I have to do laughter yoga. It will help people. It will help me too.
So she started holding her yoga classes on Zoom instead. And she admitted to me she's not very technically like skilled. So it took her a while to figure it out. But when she got the hang of it, she says it really helped her get a sense of lightness back.
I can imagine maybe doing it over Zoom, if you're shy about it, you know, the pointing, the laughing, maybe it makes it a little bit easier than being in a classroom or in a circle as well. I really like that Meera says it helps her students. It helps her as well. Is there anything else that she does to try and laugh throughout the day?
Well, something else she says she was doing was watching comedy, something kind of similar to Just for Laughs.
That's interesting because when we were talking about this, Jen, I said I've been watching more comedy and more stand-up too than I ever have.
Mm-hmm. And Rebecca, I was curious about our comedians because these are people whose livelihoods are dependent on making others laugh, right? And they're going through a really tough time with comedy clubs closed and theaters also closed. And I was wondering where, if at all, they were able to find their laughs through the year. So I reached out to Derek Seguin, a stand-up comedian here in Montreal.
He's been on also Just for Laughs for years, right?
Yeah, he has. And you might have heard him on our airwaves because he's been on CBC's The Debaters. And he was touring clubs and theaters around North America. And now he's doing shows online at his home in Brossard.
This is coming up on my 9th show. They're called the Panderek Live Online Shows. Panderek, because the pandemic has affected me more than everybody else. You know, doing comedy online definitely took some adapting. It's not the same at all. But if you look at it optimistically, there's still very much fun to be derived both from my end and from the people's end. You can look at it as a big negative, but you could also look at it as like, oh, this is a new challenge. So the newness of it gives you this nervousness that if things go not terrible at the end, it's like, ooh, that was a rush.
Well, for someone who really knows his way around a live show and he's been on all these different types of programs, definitely the online aspect is a whole new challenge. Are there a lot of other comedians that Derek knows who are trying their hand at doing these online shows?
Well, Derek said a lot of his colleagues just didn't get on the online wig, and some tried it and it just didn't work for them. You know, it's not the same thing. But Derek felt like he needed to keep going. He needs to make a living. And he was also scared that he might lose his funniness, his comedy chops.
I was fearing that first of all, a comedian needs to tell jokes or you lose your, it's not like riding a bike, right? It's like riding a bike in that, you know, you don't ride a bike for 10 years, you get on a bike again, you fall down 6 times, and then you'll get it back again. But it's going to be interesting to see what the landscape is like when we come out of it. How many comedy clubs will have survived? How many people will be comfortable? You know, the law, the governments can open things back up and say it's okay now to go into a comedy club, but there's going to be a certain proportion of society that is just not interested in that, at least in the short term.
And it must be hard writing jokes, coming up with these acts when you don't even know what the future of your industry is.
Derek says he feels lucky just to be able to continue working at all. In fact, he said it's picked up since the beginning of the pandemic. He's been busy between online shows and being booked for private events.
I guess we often think of laughter as something that just happens. You're having a conversation with someone at work, you crack a few jokes, and you just start laughing. But it is interesting, mm-hmm. Jen, that you found people who are really consciously looking to laugh more these days.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes you feel better, right? Sometimes taking that minute to laugh and soothe yourself in the middle of a very busy, stressful life and a very busy, stressful year, it can go a long way in helping well-being. And in a way, the pandemic, because it's been so hard, has brought into focus the things that matter most for a happier life. Chris Barrington Lee, the happiness expert, says he hopes we won't forget that even after the pandemic.
I think one of the most significant things about facing this pandemic is that everybody, every one of us, as well as policymakers, but every one of us has had to reflect a little bit more on what it is that actually matters for a good life. Because we've found out so starkly, so concretely, what happens when you become isolated or when you take away your meaningful daytime activities. I hope this is an opportunity for people to think about investing in their own well-being, and also expecting our policymakers to focus policy on improving lives.
We started this off at wanting a laugh and this question of, wow, are we laughing enough these days? And it moved on to a pretty serious discussion of what makes us happy. Jen, thank you so much for this.
Thanks, Rebecca.
That's the CBC's Jennifer Yoon.